This morning we talked about being anxious and troubled about many things. That's what Jesus said to Martha there in Luke chapter 10 when he was in their house and when Martha complained to Jesus that Mary, her sister, was not helping her with all of the serving. You remember what Mary was doing. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to his words. Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are careful or anxious and troubled about many things, but Mary has chosen the good part." Jesus says there's only one thing that's needed, and Mary has chosen the good part. She's sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to his words. This morning, as we talked about the subject that we generally refer to as worry, we noted that it's something that we all know that it's not a good thing, and we all know that we need to worry less. We all know that we need to try to get it out of our lives, and yet at the same time, we all still do the worrying from time to time. We noted the definition of worry. Worry is when you think about and dwell on problems or even things that might happen to such an extent that you have an effect on your ability to be productive and your spiritual life. We also noted that there are some really strong reasons why we tend to worry. A lot of people worry because life is hard. And we know that life is hard, and so we worry about what life is going to bring our way. Some people tend to worry because the future is uncertain. It is a fact that we don't know many of the things that are ahead of us, and some people really allow that lack of knowledge to become a tremendous burden that they carry and drag with them. And then the third reason that many people worry is because actually we're not in control. And we like to be in control. And because we're not in control and because there are things that are going to happen that we can't do anything about, we really worry a lot about those things. We ended our discussion this morning by talking about some of the fruits, some of the results of worry. Worry produces basically three things. Worry produces more worry. When we give ourselves over to worrying, we're just simply making it easier for worry to become a part of our lives. Worry produces more worry. Worry also produces more work. It's really hard on us when we spend so much time worrying. We become less productive, and therefore there is much more that we need to be doing than we are actually getting done. Then, of course, we said the third thing that worry produces is a diminished faith. Worry actually causes our faith to shrink. Faith is one of those wonderful things that grows as we use it and as we properly apply it and properly feed it with God's Word. Faith should normally grow, but when we fail to trust God and consequently are worried about things, not legitimately concerned, but worried about things, then our faith has only one direction to go, and that's to diminish. Tonight, I'd like for us to, in the same vein, consider a lesson that I call winning over worry. We're going to turn to that classic text on the subject of worry, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. If you'll turn there with me in your Bibles, I'd like for us to read these few verses, and then I want to share with you about four things, and we'll be brief in this study on the subject of winning over worry. I might point out that this text comes along at a place, in fact, if I look on the very same page in my Bible, the same opening, Jesus has just been talking about some really, really significant things. He's just a few verses before this talking about treasure, where he said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust corrupt, thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And then when you drop down just a verse or two after that, we see that Jesus talks about purity. Purity of life and the things that we allow to come into our lives and the things that we allow to live in our lives. And then just before we get to the point on worry that Jesus makes, he talks about loyalty, where he said, no man can serve two masters. Either he'll love the one and hate the other, cling to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't divide your loyalty. Either you are in service to God or you're not in service to God. It's not a matter of partly or a little here and a little there. Then in verse 25, he begins the discussion on the subject of being anxious. Now, that's the paragraph heading that's given in this particular little Bible that I'm using. Paragraph headings are not inspired, but they generally do identify the subject matter of the paragraph that is to come. And this paragraph is entitled, "Do Not Be Anxious." Now, the very same passage or a parallel passage, the very same subject, is discussed in an almost word-for-word form in Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 31. But we're going to stay here in Matthew's account. As we read these verses, let me go ahead and tell you that there are three absolutely of premier importance words. Now, that didn't come out exactly the way I was thinking it in my mind, but I think I got my point across. There are three words in this text that are absolutely the three most important words that you could relate to in this particular discussion. The words are this: faith, Father, and first. Faith, Father, and first. You'll notice those words when we come across them in this text. Beginning at verse 25, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about..." Now, hold on. I'm reading to you from the English Standard Version, and we are about to notice five things that Jesus enumerates and lists in a very specific fashion that Jesus says, do not be anxious about these things. Don't worry about these. Do not be anxious about, number one, your life. The word that's translated there from the original Greek into the word life means your being, your existence, and everything that has to do with the fact that you are a living, breathing person. And you know, you say, well, he could have stopped right there and that would have got the point across, because obviously the Lord says we're not supposed to worry about anything. Do not be anxious for your life. But he goes on and he breaks it down. He says, for what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body. Again, the word there that's used is a word which sometimes has a literal meaning and sometimes has a metaphorical meaning, but this time it's literal. It means your literal physical body. Nor yet for your body what you will put on. Not your food, not your drink, not your life itself, not your body, not your clothing. I get the idea that the Lord is pretty serious about this matter, that we must not worry. We must not be anxious. And then he says in verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Now verse 27, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Now, if you're reading the King James translation or the New King James, you'll see there that it says, which of you by worrying can add a cubit to his stature? King James Version, New King James says cubit and stature. The American Standard Version, New American Standard, the English Standard Version says, which of you can add an hour to his span of life? Well, it turns out that the reason translators have divided over that is because the word that is rendered in the King James Version, stature, can also mean length of time. And so, is Jesus saying, which of you by worrying can alter the length of time you live, add an hour to your span of life, or by worrying can adjust your height? I've got one question. What difference does it make? Isn't the point the same? Doesn't it all mean the same thing? And the point is, number one, we need to admit that worry accomplishes nothing. In the words that Jesus used, which of you by being anxious, which of you by worrying can change anything having to do with your spirit, your physical life? The answer to the Lord's question is, not me. In fact, every single one of us would have the same answer to that. Every single one of us would have to answer, not me. I can't change my length of life. I can't change my height. I can't change anything by just worrying about it. Now, there are some physical features about my body that I can have an effect on, but I assure you that worrying about them isn't going to make any of them any better. The second point that we need to see is in, first of all, verse 26, where Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. If the Lord were to look around and pick out the most common animal of the animal kingdom that all of his listeners would have been familiar with, what would it have been? Well, it most likely would have been the birds. The most common animal to them, insofar as the number of them they see, in fact, most anybody anywhere on the earth would probably have the same answer to that question. The birds are the things that we see the most of. In fact, on a good day, you'll see a plethora of them, won't you, Chris? That's Chris's new word. They challenged me to figure out a way to put that word in a sermon. And I did that this morning. You may not have even noticed it, but I used it. And here I go. I've already found another occasion to use it. But there were plenty of birds around. And so the Lord says, what about the birds of the air? They don't work. They don't do anything insofar as supporting themselves. But your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And then drop down to verse 28, where he talks about the lilies of the field, the grass, the common flowers and plants that grow. Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is cast into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Well, there's the point that we need to see. We need to understand God's care. Because if we spend all of our time worrying about all of the features of our life, the things that are coming, the things that have already happened, the things that might happen, the things that we don't know about, listen carefully. I believe that that is an insult to our Heavenly Father. When we worry ourselves about those things that are in God's hands, it is an insult to God. Jesus lays the case out as clearly as it could be made when he said, what about the birds, the common birds? God takes care of them. Aren't you worth more than birds? What about the grass that grows and dies, that's gathered up and burned, and yet God makes it look so good? Aren't you worth more than that? We need to understand God's care and the fact that we are at the very top of God's list of concerns. He's far more concerned about you and me than he is about the birds or the flowers or the grass or the animals of any nature. God's care of us is supreme. The third point that I'd like for us to see is reflected there in verses 31 to 33, especially verse 33, which most of us have been hearing and quoting for most all of our lives. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What are these things? I believe Jesus is referring to, with those words, these things. He's referring to the essentials of life, the things that we need, the things that God knows that we need, those things that are in God's hands. Jesus isn't telling us how to become welfare subjects. He's not telling us how to sit back and let God do all the work, but he is saying, put God first and he will take care of you. Of course, we all understand the process of putting God first involves a great deal of involvement for ourselves, a great deal of doing, a great deal of action. Put first things first. You know, one of the solutions, or well, actually, one of the characteristics of a life that is filled with worry is many times the fact that that particular life or that heart, that mind of a person who is constantly worrying about things, considers those things to be more important than they really should be. Put first things first. And then the fourth thing. Is there in the last verse or so. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, verse 34. But tomorrow will be, or for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, you see the words up there, transfer trust. The reason I put it that way is because one of the things that it's really easy to get mixed up on, and sometimes it's easy to get mixed up on this and we don't even realize that we're mixed up. One of the explanations for an increased sense of worry and anxiety is that we're trying to trust ourselves more than we're trusting God. There are a lot of things that we deal with that we need to put trust in to a certain degree. Probably one of the things that is closest on our minds right now might be health and health care. Are you saying then that I don't need to trust the doctor? If I can't trust the doctor, I'm going to find me another doctor. Absolutely, you need to trust the doctor. But the fact is, the doctor doesn't have the final say. We do need to trust the things that God has provided and the vehicles that God uses to accomplish His will. But we need to remember that God is the one who is ultimately in control. That's not to say that God will always give us the result that we want in every particular situation. There is another factor to this. It is the factor that often we don't understand everything that's involved. In fact, the song that we sang just a few minutes ago does a beautiful way of our job of illustrating that very fact. Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. And the song goes through a lot of the thought process of looking around us and seeing things that we may be tempted sometimes to say, well, this is not fair. I'm trying to serve God. This isn't working out for me. Why is it this way? And the song acknowledges the fact that we don't understand everything. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. But let me tell you something. It may be on the other side of the chilly waters of death, as we say, that we finally get an understanding. Because there are so many things in this life that we don't understand. And isn't that even greater reason to trust our Heavenly Father? As we close our thoughts this evening, I'd like to remind us of the passage that we had this morning. John read to us from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me give you the David Phillips paraphrase of that passage. Here's what it says. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Ask God for anything. And His peace and care are beyond your wildest dreams, beyond your imagination, beyond your ability to conceive or understand. Your heart is safe in Jesus. Now that's what that passage says. It doesn't say that we're going to understand everything. It doesn't say that God is even going to answer all of our requests with a yes. But it does say that we should not worry, that we should pray about everything, that we should ask God, let our request be made known to God, that we must understand that His peace will safely keep our hearts in Jesus. Actually, verse 34 has been labeled as something that's a little bit hard to understand, where it says, especially tomorrow will be anxious for itself. The Amplified Bible renders it, tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. That's why I said, one day at a time, or day by day. One step at a time. Let's deal with our responsibilities today. Let's be ready when tomorrow gets here, but let's not solve its problems today. Let's work on today's problems with God's help. We can win over worry. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing this song.